Damn Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you live, not from Orange County. I've left the bubble and traveled all the way up to Canada. I'm in a little town about 80 miles outside of Montreal called Mont-Tremblant. I think that's how they pronounce it here. They speak a very odd type of French. I don't know if any of you are French speakers, but they speak a bizarre French here that is almost impossible to understand. Very, very enunciated, very small, and very odd. I'll just leave it at that. But nonetheless, it feels like Europe here. It's like a little European, European ski town. Really pretty, and nice people, surprisingly, even though they are Canadian and French-speaking, which should be two strikes against you, I think, in most polite company. Beautiful, beautiful spot. What else? I've been trying to survey everything going on back home. And of course, today was a huge day. Even before Sessions went and testified, I think that there's a story brewing here that really sets it up nicely. And that's, well, the people are concerned about Mueller. Now, you know, it was the history with the special prosecutor, with appointing Bob Mueller as an independent attorney investigating the Trump-Russia mess. It's the purpose behind it. You remember how it happened. It was originally Sessions, the attorney general, recused himself from the investigation, and he appointed his deputy, Rosenstein, to be the guy, the acting attorney general on all matters related to the Russia investigation. And the first thing Rosenstein does is he goes and he appoints Bob Mueller, who was the former head of the FBI. We talked about him here when it happened. Older guy, to be the independent inquisitor, if you will, to determine if there is any shred of evidence to suggest that Trump has colluded with the Ruskies. So now, the first thing that happens in an investigation like this, I have to tell you, it's not just Mueller that does this. Because that's right, he hires a staff. He hires people. And that's part of why these probes go oftentimes for years and cost a tremendous amount of money. Some of these probes in the past that you might be familiar with, like into Clinton and Iran-Contra, Reagan, millions and millions of dollars. So the reason it costs that much money is because these guys, they hire people. You know, so it's not just Mueller. He brings on people. And who does he hire? Well, he hires lawyers. That's right. He brings in attorneys. And now some of the names are beginning to trickle out. And Newt Gingrich earlier today really made a splash because he came out and said, "There's don't expect any independence at all from Mueller because he's hiring a bunch of Dems." And the evidence is there. I mean, the evidence is there to back him up. That's certainly true. Let's see who they have. A few different people named. There's one gal, a Jeanine or Jeanie Ree. Get this, she worked as a lawyer for the Clinton Foundation, helped persuade a federal judge to block attempts to force Bill and Hillary Clinton to answer questions about their charity under oath. She also worked, briefly for Barack Obama and gave hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars to different Democrats all over the country. Now, that's significant, obviously, because it's not somebody just giving to Democrats in their own state. If they're giving to multi-state candidates or people in other states, more likely to be a party operative. There's others, too. There's a James Quarles. He worked on the Watergate investigation. He was a young guy. Long history of supporting Democrats. Looks like he gave about $1,300 to Obama in 07 and then $2,300 in 2008. So he really ramped it up there in 1 year. Gave to Clinton, too, the year she lost the election, you'll remember. So you got there's some names that are being put out there that are these lawyers that are going to be hired by Mueller. And What do I think? I think it's significant in the sense that people are being hired. And where do you go if you're a special prosecutor? Where do you go if you're working on Washington D.C. And you're gonna go to people who are available in that talent pool. I don't think many established attorneys. Let's say you're living in Texas. You get a call. I don't think it even works this way. But imagine you get a call and you say, "Hey, we got this investigation." And it might last, 6 months, or it might last 6 years. I really can't tell you. How do you feel about dropping whatever it is that you're doing? Oh, you got kids in school? Leave them. And why don't you just come on over and pack up and move to Washington for an indefinite period? And yeah, how does that sound? Well, most of us wouldn't do that, right? You wouldn't do that. So the talent pool. The available bodies are those that are located already in Washington. And I don't know, there might be others on the panel that are Republicans that have given money to Bush and to Romney and McCain and, God forbid, Trump. So I don't know if that in and of itself is any indication that Mueller's planning to steamroll the Trumpster. But it is interesting. Do not expect for a minute. I don't think that it is reasonable to assume that this panel is going to be staffed with non-ideologues. I think there's going to be a tremendous amount. There'll be dissent. Different people will look at this in different ways. And so, with this background, see, this is what today started with, right? This is the story out there. The real concern. That Mueller he's got his posse, he's building his crew, and that these are people that are in no way fans of the president. And so how does this all tie in? Sessions goes to testify, and that is one of the things that they started, you know, hitting him on. Are you going to fire Mueller? Because there's this, what happens on Twitter, right? What happens in social media and in the news, you know, the 24-hour news cycle, when you have a guy like Newt Gingrich come out, who's a known surrogate of Trump's, comes out and starts making accusations that Comey cannot be trusted to be impartial. The answer, of course, to that is fire Mueller, right? Get rid of him. Dump the guy. Move on. Get somebody better who's not going to be. Or just drop the whole thing altogether. Of course, Trump could do it. Yes, I mean it's technically possible. It's within his rights. But so then have been a lot of other things. Like, gosh forbid, make contact with the ambassador from Russia. That too is within his rights as a incoming president of the United States, transitioning into the White House. So that's, of course, possible. He could fire his FBI chief, and we haven't been hearing the end of that for weeks now. So there are a lot of things Trump is able to do that the Constitution permits him, but that may not necessarily be politically advisable. So here is the backdrop. So, of course, you know, Sessions today testifies. The Intelligence Committee, and he's there in the Senate, and they're just, Mr. Attorney General, do you have full faith and confidence in Bob Mueller to, you know, da da da? And of course, Sessions goes out and says, "Hey, I don't have any reasons. I don't have any reasons to doubt his competence, his impartiality. I expect him to do a thorough job, et cetera, et cetera." And so he kind of shut this whole thing down. Which is exactly what he needed to do. Because the rest of the story is what's important. The rest of the story is they got absolutely nothing from Sessions. In fact, if anything, I mean, he got feisty. He said, I may be recused, but I am not precluded from defending my honor. There's something really great about that Southern drawl, right? I mean, I think there's an old lawyer story where advice an older lawyer gives to a younger attorney, and it goes something like this: "Son, if you're opposing counsel on a case, comes into the courtroom and is all drawing out his sounds and giving you the good old boy southern drawl, prepare to lose. That's it. Just prepare to lose. So he's got that. He gets up there, got a very disarming, pleasant way about him. But the real problem here is that it's not that long ago that Sessions was in the Senate. He is part of the, he is one of the guys and gals. You know what I mean. He's there. He is a recently departed member of the club. He's not a congressman. He's a senator. And he was a senator for a long time, for years with many of the people here that are on the committee. And for better or for worse, I have to tell you this, for better or for worse, there are people there that may have disagreed with him. But they know that the guy has character. The one thing about Sessions is, I mean, he's got a track record in Washington of being kind of definitely a right wing guy, a social conservative, not somebody that many of his colleagues in the Senate, I would say, sided with, especially not the ones with the big D by their names. But he definitely had a respectful following. I mean, people knew always knew that he was an honest guy, and that's sort of the buzz in the background of all this. You got to understand, people are saying, look. Yeah, this Sessions is not one of Trump's bagmen. Asking Trump if he was the one, you know, trading, I don't know, doing, you know, where are those, you know, trading secrets with Kislyak somewhere in a backroom bathroom at a gentleman's club in D.C. It's not who Sessions is. In fact, asking him that is patently absurd. And doing it, I mean, and these denials, you got to hear, they were forceful, unequivocal, no wiggle room, denials. And the entire witch hunt, I guess you could, I think it's fair to call it that, just is has to be ending soon. I simply don't get it. There was nothing there. And Sessions is a significant witness. Not just because of his integrity, but because and not just because of his current position, but because Sessions was a longtime Trump ally, and he was the first person in the Senate to endorse Trump. In fact, he endorsed Trump when Trump's candidacy was mostly considered to be a joke. Conventional wisdom back then was that Trump was just running for the fun of it, and would be dropping out soon. So Sessions is an early-in guy, and he is somebody that has been, you know, has obviously been one of the closest advisors to Trump throughout his campaign. So he wasn't there just before the election. He wasn't there just at some portion during the transition. He was there from the get-go. And so presumably if there were some legal dealings, right, you think he's a lawyer, he's a foreign relations guy. If there were dealings with Russia, if there were all this hocus pocus nonsense that these Democrats keep banging on about, Sessions would be the person. And he is a guy, why this thing is not gonna go anywhere. For the tide to turn against him, you Democrats, I tell you what you need. You need to win over some Republicans. And you may not like Jeff Sessions because you may think that he's a social conservative and he's this guy that is fighting against medical marijuana and he's a religious guy and all this stuff. Okay, so you don't like him, I get that. But in the Senate, in the halls of power right now that are occupied pretty substantially by the Republican Party, Sessions is a respected guy. I mean, they may have their disagreements, but he's a respected guy. So when he's up there testifying under oath, no, this is not how it happened. That's it. That's all there is. All right. Well, again, if you missed the first opening here, we're live from Mont-Tremblant in Canada, in Quebec. I'll give you a few more details about that as the hour progresses. But I really wanted to. I always do this. I leave town, and the news just goes berserk. know. It must be a thing. If there's ever a dull day, I need to just get on the plane and leave town and make things happen. All right, Sam Rogowski. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. The other day, where he just drove off sometimes like the king. I ran my mouth off a bit too much. I wanted
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
All right, welcome back. Sam Rogowski here. And in case I sound a little bit funny, I'm up in Mont Tremblant in Canada, French-speaking Canada, in the province of Quebec. And it is beautiful up here in the mountains. It's a ski town. And French-Canadians, you know, a very, very special group of people whose company I am enjoying immensely. Now, even though I am on vacation, so to speak, I want to get to you on this because I there's so much going on back home, and actually not too far from here, about an hour and a half flight to Washington. There's a guy actually in my group here that I'm doing a little bit of racing. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. I'll share. I put up a photo on Twitter. Actually, I don't know if you saw that. But I posted a pic of some cars. Let me see. What did I put up? I got to refresh my memory. I know I posted a picture from earlier today. And I got invited by a company that builds Italian race cars. I'll let you figure out which one that is. And the whole thing is they put you on the track and they let you race these cars around a real track. They've had a number of very famous races here. It's about 5 minutes away from the hotel. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So I get to go back another day tomorrow and then fly home. But what's it like? Tomorrow apparently is when we go 160 miles an hour down the straight. That's when the big, you know, big speed stuff is going to happen. Today was a lot of technical training. And it is interesting. I think I consider myself a good driver. I think of myself as a good driver. And I'm definitely not one when I sit down with a real professional driver who's teaching me what to do, how to turn, when to turn. It's all about timing. And apparently I'm doing it all wrong. So I've learned a lot today, but I'm also, no, I can't now. I can't try any of these things at home, of course, because you don't want to, well, you know, you gotta keep it safe out there. But it's true. If you can drive safely at 160 miles an hour, you can drive a lot more safely, presumably at 45. You understand the mechanics of driving. A lot of people don't, right? Because that's why they're out there driving like crazy nutters. They should send everybody to some kind of a more professional race. What's the only thing that you do to get a driver's license in California? You don't even have to be legal, for Pete's sake. Right? They're handing those things out like candy. Well, you can answer these 10 questions and show, you know, Father Time over here at the DMV that you can take the car or spin the car around the block. Yeah, that's right. That's why accidents happen. That's why when you're minding your own business, you know how to drive. You're good. You got the 10 and 2 going. Actually, it's supposed to be 3 and 9. Did you know that? It's not supposed to be 10 and 2. 3 and 9. That's my big takeaway today. But you're doing the right thing. Both hands on the steering wheel. You're not putting on makeup. You're not texting. You're not reading the paper or whatever. You're driving and some idiot runs into you. That's right, Sweet James. That's the guy that you call. I'm going to talk about it now since I'm talking to you about racing. Sweet James. You need him. You need his number. You need a little bit of his fine beard in your hip pocket, so to speak. Because you never know when that's going to happen to you, to a loved one, to your friend, to a coworker. You know, you're at work and you're talking to somebody and they're hurt. You got to talk to my friend, Sweet James. That's right. Give him a call. I'll be like, what's his number? You go, I know it by heart because I hear Sam talking about it every night. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And if your friend doesn't have a phone, you can always give them the website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky back behind the very mobile Sam Nation microphone. And when I get back to you here after the news, I do want to get into more of the session stuff. Talk about Mueller. Yeah, you know, there really is. There are people. I just saw it right now. There's talk that Trump is going to terminate Mueller. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's bluster. And it is. But it is interesting to see that politics, no matter what, I guarantee you, politics will play a role in deciding what happens. And I'll be here to explain it. All right, John Wolfe up next with the news, and we'll be back right after that.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, coming to you live from Canada. That's right. We are making America great again, Canadian style. And in this particular instance, given that we are in Quebec, mingling with the Québécois, as they call themselves, that's right, mingling with the enemy. Just kidding. But I'm having a great time up here. A lot of great people. Hospitality's top notch, and this town, Mont-Tremblant, very beautiful. Just enjoying it. But don't worry, I'm here. I'm here for you. To make sure that I'm able to decipher all of this madness that is going on. So, to recap it for you real quick, Jeff Sessions today testified on Capitol Hill before the Senate Intelligence Committee, and this preceded a small tropical depression, not a full-scale hurricane, but a tropical depression, a storm of sorts, permeating through the news cycle, through the Twitter sphere, about Trump possibly firing Bob Mueller, the special counsel, hired to investigate all things Trump. Now, actually, it's funny I bring this up, because what exactly, this is a question I have to ask you, what exactly are these clowns investigating? You know, I'm looking through this testimony here that Sessions is giving. And it's not entirely clear to me. As a lawyer, I am supposed to figure out, if I'm looking at hearing questions, reading questions, whatever format these questions are coming at me, I am supposed to know or get an idea of what the prosecutor, what the defense attorney, what the inquisitor is trying to get at. Most of this testimony, if you count up the words, and I got the transcript, so I'm looking at it, if you look in just volume, in this case we'll call it thickness of my stack of sheets here, of paper, most of it is entirely dedicated to grandstanding, to pointless blabbling about what they think and you know, the Kamala Harris, what a clown. If you're listening to me right now and you voted for her, I just want you to know right now that you ought to go back, go on YouTube somewhere, and watch her nonsense responses and her grandstand. Just nonsense. Total crap. But I don't think that these guys, they've lost track of what they're actually going after. Or on the other hand, there's a distinct possibility. No, it's not even a distinct possibility. This is what it is. They are the Democrats right now, and among them even a couple independent, mavericky Republicans. It's a fishing expedition. They're just going after anything at all that they can, picking away at tiny little scabs, hoping to turn them into gushing wounds. You want to know how many people now have, under oath, have cleared Trump, okay, of any wrongdoing, right, that have denied that there's obstruction of justice. For example, we've got Comey, right? He did that. Remember McCabe, the acting FBI director? Comey got fired, McCabe came in. But before that happened, I mean, twice this guy testified under oath. No problems. Trump is clear. There's no collusion, no obstruction. NSA director, Michael Rogers. He's a appointee of none other than President Obama, right? He testified to it too. Dan Coats, National Intelligence Director. The list just keeps going on. John Brennan, bunch of these are hacks. These are literally guys are Obama appointees, political appointments that are holdovers from the Obama years. And these are all people who repeatedly, Clapper, another one. These have all denied any obstruction, any collusion. How is this story still in the news? This is just, folks, if I sound upset, now look, I'm knocking things over here in my room. Guys, this is just nuts. It is absolutely crazy. I'll tell you why, but you know what? I'll tell you exactly why it's going on. All right, we got to take a break. Be back right after this.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Berjovsky back. Okay, so we're talking this Sessions thing. The great testimony, obviously, he lays it down really clear. What is this now? The 10th denial. I counted it up. I have at least 10 names, six of which are Obama people, Obama appointees. When asked directly, was there collusion? No. Was there obstruction of justice? No. So what are they getting at here? And the answer is plain and simple. This is it's a game of politics intended to slow down and to cripple Trump's agenda. And look, if you're a conservative, maybe you're not the biggest Trump guy or gal, didn't support him, didn't like him, maybe you voted for him, kind of holding your nose. You see him tweeting and you think he's vulgar and, I don't know, just a little too much for you. You're more of a Mitt Romney person. I hear you. But these skunks in the Senate, Barney Frankin, okay? Give you one example. Warren, right? Warner. This guy, total obstructionist. But they're obstructing an agenda. Now, is it, you got to ask yourself. These are people, right? They obviously don't like the direction where Trump is going. And it's not from a moral high ground. It's from an ideological place. They don't want school choice. They don't want Obamacare repealed. They don't want lower taxes. They don't want to give. They don't want a pipeline. They don't want a Dakota pipeline or any other pipeline. They don't want energy. You know, they don't want coal. They don't want anything. Do you think they like anything that Trump is doing? So the real thing here is you got to understand the motives. The motives are so transparent to me. And it's not, it's just any fair-minded person. There's literally nothing here. I don't know. It's nothing more at this point than a conspiracy theory. And Republicans, of course, you know, I remember, who was it? Hillary Clinton, right? When Mark Foster committed suicide, he was an attorney in the Clinton White House. And he commits suicide, and of course the theories are, you know, that Hillary was there, you know, holding the gun and gently helping him press the trigger. Can you imagine if the Republicans held Senate hearings on where was Hillary on the night? So Hillary wasn't there. Maybe, who does Hillary know that was on the same block as Vince Foster, around the 5 or 10 hours or so surrounding his death. I mean, it would be that absurd. And the only reason this gets any kind of cover is because the establishment hates Trump with so much passion. This is the normally. You call it an inquisitive free media, although I think that's a giant load of crap. But normally, even a left-leaning mainstream media would not give conspiracy theorists on the left this wide a berth. But they do here. And it's simply because they loathe the man Trump so much. And they find his policies many a times. I mean, it's common sense stuff, you know, things that we like. You know, I don't know. For me, 95% of what Trump has done so far is a good thing. Heaven forbid, you know, he try to lower taxes a little bit. God knows we need it. Foreign policy, check. We're good. Trying to fix Obamacare? I mean, I got 80 employees. Hell yes. Sign me up. This is all good stuff. But there are so many out there that for them, this is the undoing of the great Obama years, and we can't have it. And so it's resist, resist, resist. And the press are, you know, turning into a bunch of Keith Olbermann clones, foaming at the mouth and totally losing their marbles. I mean, I'd say the people out there in the press, CNN, MSNBC, make John McCain look healthy. Well, that's no small task. All right. Well, I am loving this high altitude. You really should see how beautiful this place is. Mont Tremblant in Canada. All right, Sam Rojofsky, loving every minute of this. Be back right after this.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Well, welcome back, Sam Rojofsky. All right. I know. Producer Robbie is asking me what socks I'm wearing, because usually I like to antagonize foreigners with my footwear. This is a fact. You know, you remember my Trump socks in Mexico? I did that twice. I really need a new gag down there. But yeah, today, you ought to see this. I've got star-spangled banner socks is what I'm wearing. So I'm wearing, yes, they're, yeah, no, it's like American flag socks, basically. And very subtle, you know, you got to kind of be looking for it. But just at the break of my pant leg, you'll see a little bit of America showing itself. So, yeah, haven't been assaulted yet. The Canadians here are very peaceful people, very gentle. They haven't kicked me out yet. So, in Canada, live from a little town about 80 miles away from Quebec, and still here, still behind the very mobile Sam Nation microphone, following the day's news. Oh, by the way, another great example of this Trump hate. You heard about this play? This theater in New York is doing an assassination play, where it's a very thinly veiled reference to Trump. So the protagonist in it is the president gets killed. And it's got big money behind it. This is the crazy thing. Delta was sponsoring it, and there was some outcry. So Delta bagged it. You know, they fled for the hills. But they still have American Express, and some of the people that have that gave money to it originally then went and saw it and are just shocked. I bring all this up. It's a vignette. It's just another example. You could even call it evidence, which is a term Democrats are not familiar with for the most part. It's a vignette, evidence, whatever you want to call it, of this Trump rage. I mean, imagine imagine for a minute that some of the many people that did not like President Obama or his policies put together a performance in New York City. I think this is in the in Central Park, as I recall. Put together a play wherever it is and make some thinly veiled reference to Obama getting killed. The outrage would be out of this world. It would be astronomical. And why? I mean, I'm just telling you, opposition to Trump and opposition to Obama are both reasonable things. I'm not telling you you're unreasonable for opposing Trump. But I don't think I was unreasonable in finding Obama a terrible president and horribly distasteful and dishonest. Not to mention his policies just terrible for the country. But this stuff that is being said about Trump and the methods used it's beyond, and it does nothing to establish any kind of a coherent platform for the left. The Democratic Party has no platform. It has no strategy. It has nothing except anger. And anger, you know, you gotta stir up emotion from the electorate, from your voters. But you can't do it by being angry yourself. It doesn't work. It really doesn't. So that's it. That's my free bit of advice today to Democrats. I hope you're listening. Get it together. All right, out of time, as per usual, fastest hour in radio. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Talk to you then. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig.